What is up, Miami?
How you doing?
So we're here to talk today about mining at home, bringing a miner in every single home in America, not stopping until that happens.
Yes, sir.
To my left here, we have John with FutureBit. We have Diverter. We have Coin Heated. He specializes in immersion mining, specifically at home. And we have Econo Alchemist, who's working with upstream data in Bitcoin immersion. So first, can we get a show of hands if you've mined Bitcoin before?
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, get a show of hands if you've mined Bitcoin while actually, you know, owning the ASIC and not having it in a hosted facility.
There we go. Awesome.
So it seems like a lot of people have already started, which is great to see. I mean, you want to get your feet wet. It's not as difficult as it seems. But I think a good, productive way to start this off is why people should consider mining in the first place. Eco, you wanna lead us off on that?
Sure, yeah. You know, mining at home solves a lot of issues. It solves problems with censorship. It solves problems of not being able to get a bank account. And it solves the problem with the risk introduced by using KYC services. And, you know, you can get Bitcoin for a lot cheaper by mining at home, depending on your electricity rate, than you could buying at an exchange anyways.
Very well said. Very well said.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the whole point of even looking at Bitcoin mining to begin with, it was solely as a means of acquisition. I wanted to be able to acquire Bitcoin. And when I look around, all I could see were the on-ramps or the off-ramps of fiat, whichever way you want to look at it, were continuously being squeezed tighter and tighter. Tighter and tighter, and more information is needed from you. More and more KYC, AML. There's no way to just take some cash and buy some Bitcoin. The options are shrinking very fast. And so a couple of years back, when I see the trajectory, I see the way things are going, that's exactly what kind of led me to mining. At the time, of course, the atmosphere was much different, and it was a whole lot of discouragement to anybody that was looking to mine Bitcoin at home. You would have just been told, no, just don't do that. Just buy Bitcoin. You'll come out better. You know, you're going to get wrecked. Right? The machines are going to go down and the price dumps, all this stuff. All the stuff that I'm sure everybody's heard. But I kind of pushed through that a little bit and just did my own work and did my own research and looked, and I saw what my electricity rate was. I saw what the difficulty was. I mean, I'm not a math whiz, but I can use a calculator. So, you know, once I saw that it made sense for me, that was all I was really interested in doing. And what's happened since then, the price run, the ASIC shortage, things, the few of those things that have come together to make it extremely profitable, right now to mine Bitcoin. But that in my mind is strictly a bonus. The real meat of this thing is being able to acquire Bitcoin without having to hand over your entire identity.
Awesome. Thank you, Diverter. So, I mean, all of us on stage have essentially attempted to use the tools that are available to us in order to be able to mine at home. And a lot of these tools aren't necessarily designed with the home first mindset. They're usually set up to be in these large server farms, and that's their focus. John being the exception, who's right next to me, I mean, you built this company, FutureBit, to basically target home miners. So can you go into a little bit about how you think about that? Like, what are the priorities that you focus on with FutureBit to kind of make home mining more accessible?
Yeah, so kind of a background story of how I started the company. I live in Brooklyn. Back in 2015, when I started the company, was when Bitcoin kind of transitioned to these large ASICs, and there was no product out there where I could run a Bitcoin miner in my apartment. And you know, I was looking at the space. I was like, this goes against what Bitcoin is about and what it was founded for. Everybody should have the access to mine Bitcoin You know, if you live in a dense city and you physically can't do all the cool things you guys are doing to run these huge machines in your house. So we built a product that enables anybody to participate. So we chose a power and wattage range where it would make sense to run in, you know, any apartment setting. Super quiet, super low power, very easy to use. And that was the founding principles of FutureBit.
I love it. How long has your product been on the market for now?
So we launched the Bitcoin version last February.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from customers?
It's been incredible. We've had so many cool stories. Like one guy came to our booth, he's like, "Yeah, I'm a trucker. I've been running your miner in my cab while traveling cross country," you know. So it's cool stories like that where, you know, anybody can participate in all areas of life. So,
I mean, I know you said there was no easy way to run a miner in your apartment, but I had an S7 in my small New York apartment. And I mean, it was a horrible experience.
Right.
Very loud and very hot.
And then I had to get rid of it when I got a girlfriend.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I attempted an S5 for a while. It kind of worked. I put these Noctua fans on it, but you know, that didn't last too long. So,
so home mining is important. You can use it to get KYC free Bitcoin, privacy preserving in that regard. Let's get into trade-offs. Coyne, did you want to start with heat?
Sure. So, I mean, along with noise, you have a lot of heat to deal with. Obviously, you guys in Miami and the South, you don't need it so much. Myself up in Minnesota, that's actually what got me into it. I was staring up in my workshop at this really nice electric space heater, thinking like, wow, that's just waste. Got my S9, and the noise was like, okay, well, to deal with that, and promptly got into immersion, and then it changed absolutely everything. So you can have low volume. Once you get into things like brains, you can actually bring the wattage down. Even if you keep the stock fans, it's actually tolerable. There's really no reason to not be mining at home at this point. Even in a small apartment, you could dial it down. Even if you need 240 volts, you can unplug your dryer. You know, plug in your A64L. Because, I mean, how often do you use your dryer? What, once a week, maybe?
Just hang your clothes up.
That's it. I mean, what's more important, Bitcoin or dry clothes? Come
on. Can you go into a little bit? Why don't you tell them about your pool setup?
Sure.
Not your mining pool setup.
Yeah. Different pool. So then. After I proved out the S9, like, this actually works, then I got I actually refinanced my house. I was going to build an extension, talked to the wife, and she says, I'm like, hey, can I just buy a bunch of ASICs instead? And she's like, sure. I'm like, cool, done. And then hooked them up to a pool because my kids love swimming, but generally it's pretty cold. So they never went to go into it. And the entire summer is about 95 degrees. So I had a 17,000 gallon hot tub all summer. And then as it got cooler and like the 30 degrees or just steam billowing off the pool.
It's so awesome.
And then, you know, the warmer you run it, the more money you're making.
I love it. You can clap for him. So Eco, I mean, you also did a pretty dramatic setup for your heat without immersion. Do you want to go into that?
Yeah, I mean, I had my first ASIC installed underneath my kid's bedroom in our house. So, you know, I had to deal with that noise and that heat pretty quick. And, you know, to solve for the heat, I was sticking with an air-cooled system. So I just built a simple little enclosure that I tried to design some noise attenuation features into. And this enclosure also allowed the air to flow all the way through the box. And then I just piped in cool air from a window and then piped the hot air right back out the window. So, you know, in my case, I wasn't like harvesting that heat to reuse it for anything. The heat in my setup was more of a problem that I just wanted to get rid of. So I just put an inline fan in the ductwork and just sent it right back out to atmosphere. Then I the China ban happened, the markets crashed, and I saw that as a good opportunity to buy some more ASICs. So I bought some more and then tried making a elaborate setup that the circuitry inside the house held up pretty well, but I ended up burning down the overhead lines in between my house and the utility pole. Thank you to my wife for giving me a call and letting me know the power lines were on fire so I could rush home and address the issue. So I backed off my setup a little bit, and then we decided to sell our house and move out to the country. And right now I'm in the process of building out a shipping container so that I can run all of my ASICs off of a 400 amp service. But yeah, in the new setup, I had taken the two ducts out of the window and just replaced them with like a gable fan. And I just routed the heat vertically into a big chamber, and then it all got sucked out the window. And, you know, as far as the heat went, that worked pretty well. But now I also have a black box from Upstream Data, and so that's hooked up and running in our backyard. And that just forces the hot air out of the box and off to atmosphere. So this is like a easy plug and play problem solver.
Right. When you did it, you had to build it all by hand.
Yeah.
Now Upstream just gives you a nice purpose-built device.
Yeah.
Purpose-built box that you can put an ASIC into it.
Yep. So the Upstream one is weatherproof. So it's designed to be outside and in the elements, where the DIY version that I built out of plywood, like I've got one of those running in my basement, and that won't withstand weather.
And then I believe Diverter, when you first released your home mining guide, you used a cooler, right?
Well, yeah. First of all, don't judge me off of today's standards, because over the last year and a half to 2 years area, there's been a serious resurgence in home mining, and there have been a ton of advancements in the way that people handle their heat, the way they handle cooling, and the way they handle storage, just everything. Once people really started understanding and seeing the same things that we all see, as far as the KYC dangers, the issues with acquiring Bitcoin, this other option that is now exists, you know, Bitcoiners, they start coming up with solutions. So yeah, ton of good stuff has happened since then. But when I did my original one, yes, I got, I just went to Walmart. I bought, a regular, igloo cooler, I think it was. Drilled a hole in both sides. Put some ducting, you know, in and out. And then I threw, I had a window air conditioner unit that was running at the time anyway. So I took a little piece of ducting and ducted off just a little bit of that window AC cool air, and shot it into the cooler, and then ducted the heat out the backside. And honestly, the window air conditioning unit was louder than the miner was. And this was an S17. This was when the S17 Pros were just hitting. And that ran great for, you know, a while. I got my return on investment on that machine. I ended up being able to sell that machine, basically for the same price that I paid for it. In fiat terms, you know, and this is after I'd already made my money back in Bitcoin terms. So, you know, a lot of things have changed and come a long way. The price of ASICs have gone up a lot. The immersion stuff is really interesting. It's super smart. Even the air cool stuff like Econo has been doing, like there's just so much, and there's so many places you can go on Twitter and find all kinds of people now that have big, long threads about all the cool things they've done with this air. And now to see this, we were talking backstage. I haven't really gotten a chance to look or play with this product. I know Eco has, but I'm super excited for anything that is exactly what, this product is. I mean, I think we've all been kind of looking for this for a long time.
Yep. Yeah. And to go off, the comments you just made regarding, you know, non-KYC and why it's so important. I think it's a topic we really need to press is, Bitcoin mining has to go away from these centralized huge mines that are currently controlling a huge portion of the hash rate. We need millions of people involved. It can't be just 10,000 DYIers, right? It needs to be millions of people need to be participating in this network. anybody that owns Bitcoin, whether it's, you know, 100 Satoshis on Coinbase, should be participating in mining, because that's one of the pillars of Bitcoin, right? That's what secures the network. That's what validates transactions. And there's nothing to stop these huge, you know, Marathon and Riot and publicly traded companies from, you know, censoring transactions. They're very easy to go after.
Yeah,
they can't go after a million individually.
And like, it won't be that there's necessarily all miners are home miners or all miners are distributed miners, but as long as there's this like intolerant minority of small distributed miners located around the world, Bitcoin's in a much more robust place. So I've had public conversations about home mining and trade-offs of home mining with all three of those guys many times. I kind of feel like you kind of fucked our panel with your new product, because like we usually talk about the three main trade-offs, which is electric, heat, and noise. Like, what are the trade-offs of your product? Like,
I mean, the trade-offs is you can't earn as much Bitcoin as a S19, you know. But that was the point of the product, right? The point was to make it low power enough where most people wouldn't.
You can just plug it into a regular outlet.
Right, yeah, it's 120 volts, 100
watts.
You
don't even have to consult a licensed electrician.
No, of course not. Yeah, it's like running a high-powered computer pretty much 24/7.
So. Nobody likes to show off.
So what is... are they very noisy? Is noise still an issue?
No. So the design constraints we did was we wanted to run next to the nightstand and still be able to sleep. So in eco mode, you can barely hear it.
That's insane. Okay.
So that's something though. Like, I mean, even for someone that's already like pretty fairly deep into this game, not that I'm anywhere near what these guys are doing now, but like for someone that's already running, quote unquote normal ASIC at home right now, to plug one of those in though, I mean, it virtually cost free. You're 200 watts of electricity. That's no big deal. You've got a couple of terahashes. If nothing else, you know, point that at CK pool, a solo pool, mine. I mean, we've seen how many blocks this year have been mined by very small solo miners, know what I mean, with just a couple of terahashes. I know one or two of those guys did. So, like, even for somebody that's already mining, like, the product makes sense in my mind. You know what I mean? Like, it's a real win. I can't speak too much on it because I haven't played with it myself. But if it is, capable of delivering on the, even 3/4 of the things that, we think that it can, I think it's a real big deal. It's a big deal.
Well, another
trying to figure out, like, what the argument is.
Yeah.
For not using his product.
Come up with one.
Do any of you guys have one? Can we like steel man them a little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't produce enough heat for my house.
Yeah. That's a good argument. Yeah. If you can actually recapture the heat,
yeah.
There's an argument to be made that they're more industrial.
Right. So I'm literally heating a 4,000 square foot house purely with ASICs right now. And when it's 20 degrees outside, it's 80 inside, and so my wife is like, "Oh, it's too hot in here. Like, just open some windows. You know, it's 20 degrees outside. It's freezing. There's snow on the ground. Like, open up the windows. It's too hot."
I literally do the same exact thing. Like, my windows have not been closed all winter.
if we don't overload the power grid and expose the weaknesses, then they're never going to invest in building up our infrastructure stronger.
I did pop my transformer 5 times. I popped my transformer 5 times at my house. Boom, like every time, like, oh God, that's me.
Do that with your 200 watts.
That'll get their attention.
Yeah.
Let's forget John isn't on the couch right now. You have one of these industrial miners, you have like one of the new gen Watts miners or like an S19 or something, and you're thinking about installing it in your house. Let's go through the trade-offs in terms of like what you're thinking about in terms of electric, like getting power to them.
I feel like that's got to be ecos. You've had to learn about electricity after melting the lines, right?
I mean, now you got to first be aware that you there's a lot of scammers out there, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of scammers in the trades too. So you want to be careful about who you're dealing with to come into your house and install your electric upgrade. I consulted a professional electrician. They weren't licensed, and I found out the hard way that I was getting scammed. They did damage to our home. I had to go back and redo all the work that they screwed up the first time. And I went back and did it myself. Now, I'm not an electrician, but I know enough to be dangerous. And I was able to get our electrical situated in a way that I was satisfied with. And we were able to mine. So, you know, just be careful. Definitely get a licensed electrician to help you out. And, you know, you can get a lot of good advice and good experience from people online. But when it comes down to it, like if you're not trained to do electrical, you want to contact a professional and a licensed professional so that they're accountable for what they do in your home. And so, you know, every miner is going to need like a 20 amp, 240 volt circuit. A lot of us have these kinds of circuits installed in our home for our dryers or other large utilities or appliances. And, you know, you might be able to just swap out an outlet, and for a couple $100, you have a professional electrician do it and you're good to go. You can plug in your miner. Depending on what you want to do, you might need to like upgrade your entire panel and have a whole new electrical system installed. And, you know, that's definitely doable too. And it may not be as expensive as you think.
I mean, I think like as far as home mining goes, the trade-offs, the things you need to think about if you're really thinking about doing this thing is, you talked about the electricity, but and I'm sure you can deal with the heat. I'm going to go ahead and take the noise part of it. The noise of these machines, whatever you have in your mind, if you've never run a miner in your home before, whatever you have in your mind as how loud this machine is, you are nowhere near it. You're way,
it's like running a shop vac, yeah, 24/7.
You're way under. You're low. You're extremely low. Whatever's in your head right now,
it's
you're low.
It's loud. It's annoying.
It is unbelievable. It's a jet engine. I mean, there's no other real way to say it. And there is, it is unbearable. You cannot live with that. All right. I just say it like this.
Unless you go on oil.
You cannot live with that if you're air cooling. All right. You just can't. Like, it would drive anybody insane. So you have to understand that going in. Like, that's whenever I wrote Mining for the Streets, that was the thing that I really wanted to emphasize to people. Yeah, I wanted to kind of get across the why of why I wanted to mine, but I really wanted to try to get across to people, to really think about your infrastructure needs before you buy this machine, because these are not cheap. They're very expensive pieces of hardware. It's very serious. And this electricity is 240 volt stuff. I mean, it can kill you. All this stuff is very serious. And so it's not just some game that you're going to jump into and I'm going to buy this machine and I'll be rich in a couple of years. I know, you know, in around this space, that tends to be the way things are sold. You know, just buy this, you'll have all kinds of money in a few years. But the truth of the matter is there's a whole lot of thinking, a whole lot of problems that need to be solved mentally before you ever bring this physical machine into your home. So understand that noise exists. You're going to need to deal with that. Now, the way that I deal with it, the noise comes from the fans. It's as simple as that. The fans are trying to keep the machine cool. The cooler that you're able to run, keep that machine, the lower the fans are able to run. The higher those fans have to run, the louder the fans get. All right. It's a very, very simple thing. Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy to deal with though. So, you know, cool air in, hot air out, and your fans go quite a bit, lower, and that keeps your sound much lower. And you can muffle it further using, like we talked about, the black boxes out now. That's basically a done deal, a one-stop shop. You can just duct it out and, you know, use your inline duct fans, get your heat out of there. It also going to take a lot of your sound with it. And then this man right here could tell you quite a bit about another way to go about addressing the sound, which is using immersion.
Absolutely.
Can also help with the heat.
And it doesn't need to be a super complex setup for immersion. My very first immersion setup was literally a $50 aquarium, And I looked for the cheapest radiator on Amazon. It was from a 1995 Kia Sophia, $26 shipped. You know, and so like my entire immersion setup was like $200.
Yeah.
You know, and so like it doesn't have to be a mega setup. You have to be careful. Yes, absolutely. The wiring. You don't skip on wiring. You know, make sure your cables are rated. You can get cables that are really thin that would physically plug in, that are made for lesser things. Don't make sure you get the right cables.
And if you don't want to deal with any of that, you have another option.
This guy. I knew it. I knew it was coming.
So, I mean, it's great to see that we have, you know, companies like Upstream Data with the Black Box, mm-hmm. and companies like FutureBit, where you just, you know, makes it much easier to be a home miner.
Yeah.
Ultimately, when you're doing mining, right, this equation is you have your fixed costs and you have your variable costs. And then you have the return, mm-hmm. right? And most commercial miners are looking to get a healthy profit off of that. But I think most of us on stage would argue that break even for a retail consumer, for a home miner, seems like it'd be fine because you're getting KYC free sats. So in that situation, you're getting the equivalent as if you're, you know, buying Bitcoin some other way. And even maybe if you care about privacy, a slight loss, because it's like a premium you're paying for privacy, or a discount on the opposite side that you're paying to give up all of your privacy. But where I'm going with this is Upstream Data and FutureBit are small, relatively new companies, probably harder. I mean, I know it's really hard to get a black box right now. So the prices, you might not get as good of a price as if you go to an industrial, if you find industrial ASICs. So, but that's not necessarily easy to source those ASICs. So I think we should talk a little bit about like what's best practices when actually trying to buy ASICs.
I mean, that's definitely one of the big problems. As Eco pointed out earlier, I mean, you know, everyone's a scammer, right? And in this particular area, it gets really bad. And let me tell you, some of these guys, some of these companies, whoever are perpetrating these scams, are some of them are very good. Yeah. They're very good and they're very convincing. I know, and I'm pretty sure probably some of these guys up here have come very close to sending my Bitcoin to one of these people. I remember one time in particular. I mean, I literally was hovering over the send button. And I couldn't make myself do it. There was something that just told me no. And it was a scam. So all that to say, there are plenty of people that would help you. Myself included. I know these guys up here, probably if you would shoot them a message. Telegram has become kind of really the go-to, in my opinion, for acquiring ASICs these days. There are a couple of good Telegram groups. Hardware Market, Kaboom Rex. I saw Nick Foster is here somewhere.
Somewhere out there.
Yeah, I saw him here. Nick is excellent to buy ASICs from. And the good thing about using Telegram and using these smaller places like Kaboom Rex or these guys, most of the time, these guys are Bitcoiners. So they get it. Like they're not just, you know, some random salesman selling you a piece of hardware. Like they're a Bitcoiner. So whenever you hand over your name as Joe Schmo for your delivery, like they're not going to, hey, come on, bro. Like I need your real name. I don't care. That's your real name then. Your name's Joe Schmo. Nice to meet you, Joe Schmo. So they're willing to help you preserve your privacy. They're going to accept your Bitcoin. A lot of places like, I don't mind Farm Buy. I'm pretty sure it's what, 7%?
Yeah.
7% discount if you pay in Bitcoin. So those are things to take into account, but it's also worthy of note that your return on investment would change depending on how you paid for this ASIC. If you use your already hard earned sets to buy this machine, now your return on investment is no longer priced in fiat. Your return on investment is priced in the amount of the Bitcoin that you gave up to get this machine.
It's always priced in the Bitcoin, though, isn't it?
Sure, but to an extent, if you, yes, to a degree, for sure. But if you're able to part with this dirty fiat instead of your Bitcoin, then you know,
just once, do like I did, refinance your home,
right? You know, then once you get you know, you could potentially, depending on what the price does, mine a very small amount of Bitcoin and have your return on investment in fiat terms if you let go of just fiat. But if you hand over, you know, 0.2 Bitcoin right now to buy a machine, then it doesn't matter if Bitcoin went to 2 million. You're in fiat terms, you've got all kinds of return on investment, but right. You ain't got that point too. <You're right.
clears throat> And to kind of go off that for a second, what we tell, like, our customers come to us and they ask this question all the time.
Right.
And how I explain it to them is, you're not mining dollars, right? It's not the point of Bitcoin mining. You're mining Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we need to change that mindset of how people think about mining. Mm-hmm. You're not mining dollars. Forget about dollars. You're stacking stats. That's the point. And as long as you're stacking those stats, accumulating them over time, there's never been a moment in history where anybody has bought any hardware that has not broken even in Bitcoin's entire history. And that includes USB miners, whatever.
Right. I mean, if you're thinking in fiat terms, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, if you invest in a machine, you're pretty much committed for about a year at least to run that machine. And so that's something you have to take into account, is you're not just going to buy mine for a month and then, like, oh, I'm all done. When I look at buying, I look at, like, I'm in this for at least 5 years probably. Mm-hmm. That's about how long that machine's going to last, maybe before it will no longer be profitable.
Yeah.
But the amount that I'll make on that in Bitcoin is worth so much more to me, because I'm going to be holding it for 5, 10, 15 years on top of that.
Yeah.
And having that, it's priceless to me.
Well, that was one of the arguments that I kind of made in the original paper I wrote, was that a home miner, in my opinion, is the most bullish person on Bitcoin. Like, that they are making the most bullish bet that you can make for a regular home miner, for a person that's going home and unplugging a dryer and plugging in an ASIC and figuring out a way to deal with that noise. That person believes in Bitcoin. That's a bullish bet on Bitcoin, because
it's like a long-term leverage.
Yes, it's a long-term investment. You know, and like he said, you can't just wake up one day and decide I'm going to sell all my sats on whatever exchange you're on and just forget about Bitcoin. Like, no, you've likely made infrastructure adjustments. You've got all this ducting. You've got this machine. There is no just walking away.
So, I mean, while I've been sitting up here, I think an easy way to distill kind of the trade-off balance. So everything has trade-offs. Everything in our life has trade-offs. The easiest way to distill the trade-off balance between going the industrial miner route, sourcing ASICs, figuring out sound power and heat, versus going for a more convenient setup with something like FutureBit or the Black Box, is it's like a convenience versus potential return trade-off, right? So you're taking a little bit more risk if you go the industrial side, but you have the potential for higher returns, and it's going to be way less convenient than if you go for one of the, you know, products that is focused directly at home mining. Now, there's another product that has been has grown in popularity a lot lately. I'm pretty sure that's what White Rock does, which is the hosted mining. Can we discuss what the trade-off is between using a hosted mining service rather than, you know, controlling the miners at home? Maybe, do you want to start, or?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm kind of on the same boat with not your keys, not your coin, not your hardware, not your Bitcoin, not, you know, you don't own the hardware. It's not yours. You know, there's been a long history of cloud mining providers that, you know, they don't even own the hardware that they're mining off, and it's essentially turns into a Ponzi scheme. So again, it comes down to fully participating in Bitcoin, and what it means is you taking personal responsibility and you personally running the whole ecosystem. That means your own hardware wallet, means your own node, means your own miner. And that's kind of where I stand on that.
Love it.
Yeah, I think I've been extremely fair, I feel like, with hosting providers. I've actually defended hosting.
Defended them on my show.
A couple of times I've defended not necessarily a specific hosting providers, but the idea of hosting I've defended. Then this guy comes along and again ruins everything. but, you know, my defense of hosting is More just so that, I mean, this is such an individualized thing. Like, everybody has a different rate. It depends on where you're living at. Bitcoin is a global currency. And so there, you know, it's very easy to sit here right now in the United States in my, you know, with my electricity running great all the time and my internet running fine all the time and everything's good. And I, you know, and just tell everybody, hey, everybody should, why aren't you mining at home? But I gotta continue to think in my mind, like, this is a global currency. I don't know who exactly who I'm talking to whenever I'm online. Like, I could be talking to somebody that, you know, they don't have the ability to be, or maybe they have the electricity, but, you know, they're in a place like what, Germany or somewhere where the prices are just exorbitant. It's ridiculous. So I feel like there's a place in the market for hosting, but the problem with it is, as with, I suppose, everything else in life, I mean, greed seems to always get the best of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people begin all of a sudden selling, you know, hardware space that they don't have. They start, you know, with their pre-sales, go a little bit further out, a little bit further out. And the next thing you know, you're delayed a little bit, and then you're delayed a little bit longer. And I mean, I think anybody in here that is at all aware of, you know, the whole Compass situation, right now, we've seen it play out. I wouldn't call it a scam in the same way that I would call cloud mining a scam, but it is, in a sense, somewhat of like an affinity scam type, you know what I mean? And in certain sense, I still think it can be done right. I don't think it has been to this point. But again, I'll say, to this man's credit, you know, if his product does the things that it does, I would like, first of all, I would like to see him have some competition. And second of all, and that's, I mean, not in the best possible way.
We definitely need more, you know, I'd love if there was, you know, dozens of companies.
That should, you know,
we need this out to millions of people and to get that scale. It's
absolutely. But, you know, that solves a whole lot of the issues that we all talk about. A lot of the inherent centralization around ASICs, the way that these big, huge places like this would just be filled with miners that can be taken down with, you know, we've got to continue to keep this thing decentralized and permissionless. And for my money, the best way that we can keep this as decentralized as we can, as permissionless as we can, to let people get in and acquire Bitcoin if they want to, is to try to put an ASIC or a miner in every home.
And that's what I've been working on with my tanks, is to actually design a tank that's very simple, easy to use, a single ASIC, just plop it down. You've eliminated your noise. Anybody can do it. Mm-hmm. It's not an overly complex setup. You can run it in the house. You can run it, you know, put a radiator outside easily and get that heat out of your house if you don't want it.
Yeah.
But to actually get ASICs in houses that you can run reasonably and have your own node and have your own ASIC at your house that you control, I think that's just, you know, that's where my passion is.
There is no competition.
I mean, that's it.
Awesome. So, I mean, guys, we're a little bit tight on time. You want to just wrap up with some final thoughts? Econo Alchemist, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I would just say that mining at home is more possible now than it ever has been. There's more innovation going on around you than at any time before this. There's more support out there for you. And if you're interested in it, just, you know, feel free to reach out to me or anyone else in the community. There's a lot of people willing to share their stories with you and help point you in the right direction.
Thanks, Eco.
I'd say it's a lot easier than you think. Don't let it scare you, like, oh, this is too much. Like you said, there's a huge community out there. Absolutely do it. Will you get rich tomorrow? No. Will you see absolute benefit from it? Absolutely.
Thanks, Cornita. Divert, your final thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, these guys kind of already summed up everything, so appreciate you taking my final thoughts. but no, seriously, it is easier now than it has ever been. And you should not get overwhelmed. It can be done. It does make sense for a lot more people than they think. So I would advise you, do your own research. Check out a calculator. If you need help, holler at us.
Thanks, Diverter. John, final thoughts.
Bitcoin's about empowering yourself. Just make sure you take full advantage of it. Just holding Bitcoin is not enough. Run the hardware, have the nodes, fully participate in the system to make sure Bitcoin remains a decentralized asset and does not end up getting controlled by the few once again.
Extremely well said. Yeah. I would just add, you know, it is It is a movement about personal responsibility, and personal responsibility will always be the more difficult option. But it's up to you if you want to take that route. With all that said, I want to thank our panelists. I want to thank you guys for joining us.
Start hacking tomorrow. Let's fucking make it happen.